I'm responding to the fact that it looks like more and more people are just going backwards. They're using this ticket, this grace, as a ticket to go back into the world, to be Demas followers. And we went through some scriptures this morning that shows that that's very true. It will happen. There will be a falling away. We did see that people will not endure sound doctrine. Paul was even in doubt of other people. So if we look to Paul's teachings and Paul's materials, are we strong enough to be in doubt of ourselves? To know that we are actually capable ourselves of going back, getting tired, quitting, all these things that we're talking about here. And so, is that possible for us to get there? Yes, it is. So the title was, Who's Next? Why do I expect most of us to cave in or give in sooner if not later? If we're not going to do it now, will it get so tough that we will still just toss it in? We look to Galatians chapter 6, that there are those out there that want to see us crumble. They put the screws down on us. They don't do it, but they expect us to do it. So when we don't follow through and we trip up just a little bit or a big whatever it is, then they glory in the flesh over that stuff, over us. We look to Jeremiah, how he wanted to quit. And why was it he wanted to quit? Because the familiars around him were challenging him, trying to trip him up, and knew that he could be enticed, and said that they will prevail against him and actually take revenge on him. Not only do they want to see us trip up, they will do what they can to trip us up. They will try to entice us to go to do what's wrong, or to dress what's wrong, or to say what's wrong, or to go places. They'll entice us to go. And when you do give in, they're not just going to be happy. They're going to be glorying in that whole thing. And they're going to get revenge on you. They're going to turn against this whole thing, and they're still going to rub it in. That's why Jeremiah wanted to quit. But he couldn't quit very long because the Word of God burned in his heart. So if we don't want to quit and give in to this thing, we've got to stay in this Bible. We've got to stay rightly divided in this thing. The joy of what Paul teaches is still not going to stop us from having those battles that we need to have, and we're going to have. He says, if you want to live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. And yet the message that Paul has is the best message ever in this whole entire world. Not only will I take the sins from you, I will not impute the sins back onto you. I will take the sins on a regular basis, and I won't impute, and I'll impute to you my righteousness, Christ says, and I won't leave you. You'll get that salvation. You're a joint heir with his people, the chosen people. We're not the chosen ones. And it's a marvelous message that he has. Spiritual blessings beyond our understanding. And yet we have people that are seeking God for this magical Jesus who will come down here, and we do right, he'll bless us. And if we don't do right, he won't bless us. So we have people on this farce book, this home for busybodied women who are just yakking all sorts of stuff all over the place. And people lie. I know they lie. I know some of these people, and I know it's not true. I know they're having marital problems. They're standing there typing up there that, oh, I have such an amazingly loving husband. You're lying, ma'am, because I know your situation. And everybody sees this stuff, and they see everybody else supposedly being blessed by God, and they're living horrible, their movies are terrible, their kids are misbehaving, and the whole thing, and yet they think that God is blessing them. So you see this, and you wonder, why is God not blessing me? I've had pains, I've had health issues, I've had financial problems, I got to have a job, da-da-da-da, and so why is God not blessing me? And after a while, this folly turns into just a farce, because it is, and you quit. And yet, Paul's gospel is what will be judged by. Paul's gospel is a marvelous gospel, and yet we still have things to do that please God. We're not going to stop sinning. We're going to have those things in our flesh. We're going to choose to follow them. If God knew that we could actually get a victory over that sin ourselves, he wouldn't have had to die on the cross. And during the tribulation, sure, his faith is there for them, but they have to follow the law. They have to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh, Acts chapter 2, in order for them to not do those things. So why do Christians think that we need to stop sinning to get God's blessings? We should stop sinning because, A, it's not imputed, and he died so we could, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. They don't edify. They cause other people to stumble. It's a power over you, and it's just your flesh having a party. So it's really a marvelous thing that Paul teaches, and yet we got people quitting all over the place, going backwards, using grace as their ticket to go back to the world, to be a Demas follower instead of a Paul follower. So we looked at Daniel. Of course things are going to fall apart. This Antichrist is going to come in with peace and flattery. Well, we sure hear that stuff taking place nowadays. We see that there's going to be an increase in knowledge, and we see that already taking place. We see that he says in Daniel that this guy, this Antichrist guy, this king kind of thing, is not going to regard the God of his fathers. Well, that's in the government all over the place. Nor the desire of women. We know that the desire of women has been mistaught and taken away from our women, and yet they still have that desire because it's a godly given desire. It's part of the curse. And women have been made into men. Men made into women. That is the goal of the Antichrist. And why ladies and men, especially ladies, you know, with the modesty and the loudness and all that stuff, why do they give in to the devil? That's what it is. Do they know this? And then we says in Thessalonians, there will be a falling away. So it's going to happen. But does it have to happen to you? Can you wait it out till the cutoff? That's the rapture, Romans 11:22. When he says here, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, that's the Jews, but toward thee, Gentiles, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. That's the nation of the Gentiles. So if the Gentile nation gets tired of God's goodness, it's over. And we know that the goodness of God, I'll say it again, the goodness of God is taught by Paul. And so when people are tired of Paul, they don't want to have anything to do with Paul, that's the clue that the rapture is coming. When the Gentile nation is cut off. Well, who wants to hear about Paul's teaching? Because the risen Savior in the King James rightly divided Bible. Even the Baptists are fighting this thing. Well, yeah, what do you mean even the Baptists? They're as wrong as can be, some of those guys, those teachers out there. It's terrible. So, are you going to give in to this seducing spirit stuff? Are you going to fall for doctrines of devils? You're going to become a Demas follower? It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It's like Jeremiah. We can get tired of the battle. And we don't get tired of the battle out there. We get tired of the battle of our close friends, our family, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. That's the stuff that tears us down. The brethren. We're supposed to be able to have grace and long-suffering, and everybody's out to trip us up. King James only. Oh, you're silly. You're nuts to be King James only. Really? You don't believe that which is perfect has come? That's the Word of God. Because if you don't believe that that's the King James Bible, then speaking in tongues and knowledge from God and all this stuff is still in play. So it's either it is or it isn't. The King James Bible is the Word of God. It's just a snitch lower than God. I don't worship my Bible, but it's His words. It's coming from His mouth. And He's told me, listen, I don't expect you to be sinless. I don't. I'm going to make you sinless. I'm going to make you free. I'm going to make that law be out of the picture. And I'm going to make all things lawful for you. Now, you turn around and do things that please God the Father, and He'll reward you for that. It's a marvelous message of joy, peace, and the people don't want it. They get mad about it. So we went over some specific things this morning. Hope this thing is working. I haven't checked here. Okay. We went over the fact that let's consider some things this morning and tonight. Let's consider overwhelming personal obstacles. We have health issues. We have job issues. It's man's duty to get the job, not the woman's. But what if we got situations where it has to be reversed? That's a tough obstacle to overcome. Finances. You don't have any, you know, or you have too much. Too much money, believe it or not, is causing people to go back into the world. They can buy all this stuff. They can get all these things. They can have these 20-foot screens. They can have all this, all the movies. They can have all these fancy toys and cars and four-wheelers and six-wheelers and all this stuff. And they just don't have time for God because He says lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So, yeah, having too much money can be a problem, too. That's right. I should have put this in. There's a verse in Proverbs. I think it's in Proverbs 29 or 30 somewhere in there where it says, you know, Lord, don't give me too much, I'll turn away from you, and don't give me too little, because I'll steal. Well, that's got a lot of truth to it. But today, this is a spiritual kingdom that we're living in. Paul's message is about a spiritual kingdom. God blesses us with spiritual blessings. Physical blessings is not His ballgame. I know people have a hard time with that thing. But let's just imagine, you're talking to somebody who's had sort of a rough life, and God seems to be blessing them greatly. And they're lousy Christians. And then you've got yourself, who you think are a great Christian, and where's God's blessings? After a while, you quit, because you don't think God's even there. Well, God is not their physical kingdom-wise. He's their spiritual kingdom. He gives us wisdom to live this physical kingdom. You can make some good decisions. Of course you can. And you still can get burnt and hammered, and you still can come up with a blessing. The devil can bless us. He's no stoop. He knows how to make us have things and bless us physically to make us think that it's God, and really it's him. Make us think that gain is godliness. To make us think that God is pleased. You know what I'm saying? So this Bible, which is magnified above his name, is the only thing that can tell us what's the truth of which Jesus you have, the real Jesus or another Jesus. So, marvelous stuff, this book. So, we know that these battles will bring on huge, hurtful battle damage. Some of the obstacles we have to overcome, that's one of them right there. That if you stick up for something that's right, you'll take some really hard hits. And is it something you should do or should not do? That's your decision. Keep in mind, Tobiah. In the book of Nehemiah. Here's Nehemiah. I'm just reviewing this evening. Nehemiah wanted to build a wall around Jerusalem. And he wanted to fix this place up so they can be strong. Okay, you want to be strong as a Christian. Don't forget, Tobiah is going to try to get you to compromise. He's going to try to put a scandal on you. He's going to destroy your testimony. He's going to put money as an issue. He's going to see what they were. He's going to... get inside your rubbish where you have your problem. He's going to come in that way. And he's going to mock you for trying to do right. And if you continue to do that, then he's going to still try to get you to do wrong. Just to show you that you're not who you think you are. That's Tobiah. Tobiah and Sanballat going after Nehemiah. So, it can happen to all of us. Nobody's immune to this thing. And maybe some of us have even gone back already in some ways. Where are you at than you were a year ago? Anyway, we talked about the flesh battling our mind. That was Paul's battle. Paul had that battle. He knew what was right, but he followed sometimes what he shouldn't have done. Romans chapter 7, marvelous writing there, tells us to walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And people think that there's this magical, godly cloud we live in, this bubble that protects us from everything because we are walking in the Spirit. The Spirit of God is there to protect us. Go to the book, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 16. But you got to remember, that was before the book came along. This is how we walk in the Spirit right here. We read about it, and we read what God would have us to do, and we do those things, and he will tell us through the Spirit of God, through this Bible, this King James Bible, no other Bible. Here we go. Anyway, we talked this morning how money is becoming our God. We're being forced upon the fact that we need money to do anything. If anybody has any special money out there, I'm going to be able to buy a house in Kadoka, and it's $3 more a month instead of rent, so we can buy our own place. It needs to be painted, needs a new stove, range. So if you want to, you know, do that, one of those kind of blessing things, then send me some money. And actually, I know somebody who does, so I don't want to mock this thing too much. Some of you folks do send me money for the website and to keep this thing going, and that's great because we couldn't do it otherwise. So, but let's become, we'll do anything to make money. We'll give up our testimony. We'll can this Paul thing. We'll dress immodestly. We'll go places we shouldn't go because we get money. Ladies who go out in the workplace and totally blow God's design of your life totally just so we can have more money. Now, I realize, again, some of you men have health issues and the women have to work. Some of us are in so much, some folks are in so much debt that the wife has to work. The kids have to work. There's all these horrible obstacles of reality in life. But let's not let that destroy our testimony and joy of learning from Paul and trying to return back favor to God that this pleases him by doing the right thing here, best we can. We talked this morning, some people don't even understand rightly dividing. And it isn't just because they just don't get it. Some people are slow learners. Some people today, adults, cannot read worth a lick, and it's very difficult for them just to read the verse, let alone comprehend anything out of that verse. I know that. I've seen them. I've talked to them. And it's really, really sad to see that. I mean, that's why the devil doesn't want kids to learn how to read, because then they can't read their Bible. That's got to be bottom line. What was the name of the law that started kids in a public school back in the whenever years? I think it was even in Massachusetts. Peter might even know this. It was the old Satan Deluder Act. They wanted kids to read so they could fight the devil. And the devil's won. He's got reading done in such a manner that kids just can't read. And adults can't read. So they don't understand rightly dividing other than what a preacher tells them. And preachers don't tell them anything anymore. Paul says that his ways are supposed to be taught in every church. And they're not being taught that way. So trying to explain to somebody from a book against what they've been taught from learning this spiritual stuff, that's pretty tough stuff. It's getting that way. But then there are those people who can read and they don't take the time. They don't study. You know, they can sit back and read a couple pages. I'm going to study something. Maybe they don't know how to study the Bible. Get a concordance. Check out verses. Type them up. Look at them. Compare. Write and divide. First John. Why do we go to First John? Da, 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 da. Study this thing. Anyway. So tonight, beginning part two, here we go. Hope this thing is working. I don't see any comments out there. Just making sure. So there we go. Amen. Okay. Just so we got this thing working. How you doing, Adriana? A young girl that you are, and with Brian there. It's tough stuff, isn't it, in the schools. It's tough stuff for you to be that Christian girl, Paul-following girl, in a public school. I hope you're hanging in there. It's some really, really hard temptations for what you wear, what you do, what you don't do, what should you be as a girl, as a young lady, striving to be the lady. You have no examples, probably, in your life. Tough stuff. I'm not sure Brian is a very good example of how to be the godly woman. But he can read the Bible and tell you how to do it. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Brian? Anyway, here we go. Here are some other things that's causing us to go backwards that can happen to us. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Well, Halifax, you're still with us. Good to have you there. As long as you're still listening in talk to you later if you want. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's something that's happening all over the place. And it's happened to people I know very close. It's a hard thing to deal with. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Do you know that if you want to get any kind of a... I'm sure you know this. If you get any kind of a job out there, you've got to have a degree or something. I mean, you just can't... When I was in Ohio looking for jobs, I had to have a degree in something to do anything. It was amazing. You can't just take a night job cleaning toilets and bathrooms and stuff. You've got to have a degree. You've got to have some kind of something that says that you're capable of doing that. In order for them to give you that certificate, that degree, you've got to go to their schooling and you've got to answer the questions they want you to in the way that they want you to. You folks that are homeschooling, I'm getting ready to do a homeschooling sermon here pretty soon that I doubt many homeschoolers are going to like to hear. We are dropping the ball on homeschooling. We have the liberty to teach our children the right thing without having any crummy little worldly degree that says you're now smart. We can teach them the right stuff. And we got people that are just I save it for the sermon. It just infuriates me when I see what's going on in homes for homeschooling. Anyway, you've got to go to college to get anything anymore. If it's not college, it's Bible college. Well, where'd you go to school? Where'd your pastor go to school? Well, he didn't go to any Bible college. He didn't. No, he just read his Bible and read it, divides the thing and learned from the previous preachers and da-da-da-da. Well, he can't be any good. He hasn't got any paper on his wall. It's amazing what we're learning. I know people that have had to go to college. Military pays for it. Why not get their free education? Because it'll destroy you. And I know people that have been destroyed. And I'll tell you what, right here, I'm just rolling on this thing. If you've got a young daughter or young lady, college is the last place for them to go. I don't care if it's Pensacola fake Christian college or if it's the university of whatever state you go to. It will destroy your girl. If you haven't already done so as a father already, higher education is lower education. It'll destroy your girls and it'll destroy your boys. But they've got to get this to have a job. Well, the ladies aren't supposed to get the job out there, so they don't need that education. They need to be able to be at home and take care of their husband and teach their children. What does that take? It takes a lot of effort, a lot of time, but it doesn't need a worldly college education. Men, you've got to go out there. Boys, you've got to go out there and get that education, and you've got to fight that thing while you're there to get that stupid piece of paper that says, now you can clean streets. It's just ridiculous what's going on out there. So that can take us down. So what is the thing here? What is this? We can be spoiled. And I don't mean from a spoiled from we have a lot of money thing. That can happen too. We learn that from the love of money. But no, we're talking about that the world will spoil you, means stinky, ruin, you know, spoiled meat, because of their education, because of their philosophy and vain deceit, he says there. Tradition of men. Everybody wants to go to school. Yeah? If I hadn't gotten saved, I think, in King James Bible oriented here, I'd be voting for Obama. That's what I was like when I went to college. I voted for McGovern. I remember that. I voted for McGovern. And Robert Kennedy was all big on that stuff. What a shame. Anyway, so there's one. The world will not send you to Christ. They'll send you to a God, and they'll send you to a Jesus, but it's not the right one. It's the one Paul says, that's another Jesus. That's the Antichrist. That's the one that you're ready to have. When he comes back, you'll jump right in. This is where you come up with the persecution. This is where we get our challenge. This is what we get tired of when our family wants to fight us and say, listen, stop it with this Paul stuff. No, let's not stop it with the Paul stuff. Anyway, let's look at another one here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, and see what that one is. I've got this thing online tonight. What I think I'm probably going to do is I'm going to leave it half done. I got a bunch at the end that I haven't got done yet. And I was thinking, you know what? I've got some points made there. How about if I leave it like that, and you print that thing off, and you do your own study. You look up the verse and see if you know where it's at. Where was it that Satan hindered Paul? See, just because we know Paul's teachings in the King James Bible, that doesn't mean that Satan can't get through. Satan hindered Paul. Where's that at? See if you can finish out my notes on your own before I finish them up there and put some things on there. Anyway, let's look here at Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. Let's see what that one says here. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. See, if you're saved, God knows you. If you're not saved, God doesn't know you. That goes back even to Matthew, that one. Anyway, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? Why would you do that? The world you've been saved out of, why would you use grace as a ticket to go back to it? Well, because you don't know any better. Obviously, it has to be that. Because it says here, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Why would you want to go back to this world and be back in their bondage of this world? You know, it's kind of a funny thing. Kids think that when they rebel, they wear different clothes. You know, remember the jeans thing with the holes in the jeans and the patches and all this junk. And yet, when you go into the stores today, there's those jeans. They all got the same holes and the same dirt and the same patches on the same place. And those kids think that they're wearing something on their own. They're in bondage to the world. They're in bondage to fashions. Why do ladies do makeup? The whole world does makeup. Why does a lady have to do makeup? I don't understand that. Other than a few of those zippity-doo-dahs that seem to grow when life gets tough. Why do we have to do that? Well, the world does that. Okay. Why do you have to wear those kind of shoes? The world wears those. Why do you have to dress like that? Well, the world. I don't want to look stupid. Why do you have to wear your hair like that? Why do you pay $60, $70, $800 to come out of a beauty place with your hair messed up on purpose? Because the world does that. Why do us men have to wear shoes like this? Well, because our pastor wears shoes like that. I've seen this stuff. Everybody in New York wore cowboy boots in New York? Yes, because their pastor wore cowboy boots. Why do we let everybody put us under their bondage? Be what's right with Paul. Why after you knew God, after you got right, after you got saved and you learned this stuff, why are we going back? Why do you desire to go back? Are you tired of the battles? Oh, it's so much better. Now I can dress what I want again. No, you don't. You're going to dress the way the world makes you dress. Now I can watch any TV program I want. Yes, you're going to watch the programs that they put in front of you. You're going to watch those commercials. Those commercials are going to get you to want to go to Wendy's. They're going to get you to want to go to these stores. They're going to get you to want something that you don't need because you're under their bondage. Why do you want to go back to that? But we do. We get fed that stuff. I wonder for years, why do they have Wendy's hamburger commercials when the stores aren't even open? Because the next day, I'm thinking Wendy's. Oh, they control us all the time. Do you want that? Do you want to be thinking that you were set free? We haven't been set free. We've been made free. When the rapture comes, we'll be set free. So why do you want to go back to the world under that bondage? Why do you want even religion bondage? Let's get rid of Paul's teaching. Let's get rid of that. So why? There's nothing more free than what the risen Christ has done for us and to us. And yet we want to go back to that church. We want to go back to where we have to do that. We want to go back to where they put all that stuff under their bondage. It can be just as guilty as the world. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Let's talk about turning. See, Paul said to the king there, his testimony, he said in Acts chapter 26, going to go to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. Why do we desire to turn back to darkness, to the power of Satan? We expect this magical God to give us a power to be blessed, and it doesn't happen that way. Why do you get so disgusted with that? Because you're selfish and you're a materialistic earthly person. You get that from Colossians 2:8, the way of man. We're being hammered. We're trying to be taken back, and more Bible believing, King James rightly dividing, Paul following, Christians dressly modest ladies and ladies not wanting to work out in the workplace and the whole thing. We got fathers that are making their daughters go out into the workplace for experience. Experience in what? Here's the world. Learn to love the world, dear. And then when your husband comes along, you can quit the work and quit the career and go serve him. Right. How often does that happen anymore? How many women want to quit their careers so they can have this child that hurts like the tribulation and has to stay home and wash clothes and blah, 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 blah. You talk to a working lady, they say we're working because it's easier to go to work than just to be a wife and a mother. So what? That's what you've been designed to do. It should be a joy. Anyway. Boy, I'm just yakking here, and I don't mean to get into that stuff. Okay, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Here's another reason that we can turn back and quit. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, this all has to do with the present world, doesn't it? Demas followers. Our affection is on things on the earth. What we want is this earthly stuff. You want those kind of clothes. You want that kind of a car. You want this kind of a thing. Whatever you're going to do to get it, you're going to get that kind of a job throughout the Paul stuff, throughout being a Christian, and do what you got to do to get those things that you want. That's setting your affection on things on the earth. He says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Crazy stuff. It's not right. Look at, he says in Romans 1:26, for this cause, being unthankful, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into which that is against nature. Natural use. Are you ladies living the life of the natural use of a woman as a husband? Desire to woman, that's your curse. I know. We are your curse, ladies. Genesis 3 talks about that. When he hammered Eve in the garden, he says, listen, your desire is going to be to your husband. So, we're part of your curse. Is that why you want to go off to work someplace? Because you don't have to obey your husband? You've got to obey a boss. And that boss is going to flirt with you. And you're going to get him coffee. And you're going to go home and treat your husband worse than you treat your boss. Because the boss writes you a check. Your husband doesn't. Oh, it's a mess out there. And these are Christians I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, Christians out there, they're proud of this stuff. And they yak about it on Facebook. Farcebook, I call it. To Facebook. It's just a crazy thing. Romans 1:31 talks about without natural affection. There's a natural affection we're supposed to have, and we've been taught to not have that. Then we got Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. He says here that, and they that are Christ's, we are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, what does that mean? We have crucified the flesh. This flesh has the affections and lusts. We have to say no to ourselves. That's really hard. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't admit that to you because you folks out there, or you folks are going to read this, watch this video later, you're victorious in all of your life. You've got the mind that doesn't fight the flesh. See, when we're separated from our flesh, spiritual circumcision, Paul says his sin is still in there. It wasn't me that did that. It was the sin that I chose to follow. So don't anybody tell me that you're walking holy now. Our soul is holy. We are without blame. But that's what the judgment seat of Christ is for, is to take what we've done in our flesh, in our earthly life, put those things to the test, and whatever makes us through that fire, judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's where our rewards will be based out of, other than the inheritance that we have. We join here. So, it's amazing that people think that we have to walk this sinless life in order to be a Christian. And God's not even asking us to do that. He's not even telling us to do that. We're not going to stop sinning. Christ stopped sin. And he'll impute to us his righteousness, and he will not impute to us the sins that we do by following our flesh. What better message is there? Oh, that's just too much. That's because you're looking to God like natural man, Romans chapter 1. Just because you wouldn't do that doesn't mean God wouldn't do that. That's why God is God and you're not. Although to you, you're God. So, whatever. Okay, here's another one that's easier for me to preach now than I would have years ago. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Another point here. So far we're looking at the fact that why would we turn back? Well, we're getting spoiled by the world government and the education. We have the wrong desires. We're making wrong turns. We have the wrong affection. We have our affection on things on the earth, not on the things above. And this one, here's another one. Time. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. He says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know who doesn't like to redeem time? And that's the young people. Because they've got so much time. I mean, they're only 20 years old, 26 years old, 30 years old, 35 years old, 40, all that kind of thing. They've got so many years ahead of them, they think, that someday they'll get it together. You know, I've been there, done that. And now I'm 60 years old. I don't like it. I just don't like it. We're finally getting a house at 60, a starter house at 60. What is this? My energy's down. What's going on here? I know people are going to be listening to this stuff. You've got cancer. You're not going to live to be 60 or 70 or 80. I know some of those folks. And yet we got these young people that, I'll do the Paul thing when I get older. I still want to have a life. I still want to get a job. The girls are saying, because they're being taught that. I still want to finish up my sports career in high school and college. I still want to get, I want to know what it's like to live out in this party world. I want to have children, and which is fine. That's supposed to be what you're supposed to want, ladies. Although ladies don't want that coming out of school. And besides that, they think that Obama's going to help things, and they think that we've wrecked everything in this world. Well, a lot of politics have, but the world's aging is falling apart. It's going to. And they think that they're not going to make the mistakes we made. I remember saying that to adults when I was a kid. So we go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. He says, you know that youth, childhood and youth are vanity? How many of us remember our high school years, our elementary years, other than the dumb things we did? Well, I hope we learned how to learn. We learned how to study. But we've forgotten a lot of that stuff we were taught. It's just like it was a waste of time. No, we had to learn how to learn. And what's going on in homeschooling? They're not teaching our kids how to learn. You're not teaching your kids how to study. You're giving them these pace books that just say, here, answer these questions. Do, 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 do. And it goes on and on and on. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Where do you find this with the young people today? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. Okay, I'm not going to despise the fact that you're young. I'm jealous of you. Wish I was young again. Wait a minute. Maybe I don't. All what this world's about to go through, I wouldn't want to be 16 with all the drugs and the sex and the movies and the stuff that you got to deal with. School as bad as it is, teachers as perverted as they are, parents who have no idea how to parent. What are they doing, even having children? It's easy to become a father, but it's very difficult to be a father. Stuff like that. You've heard that. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Hey, young people. You're supposed to be our example because you've got the oomph to do it. He says, be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. This is till I come. Who's that? That's Paul coming. That's not Jesus coming. That's Paul. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And then I come and I'll preach it. I'll teach you some more stuff, Paul says. Show me a young person wanting to do that. Where's that ever going to happen at? Okay, look at Titus chapter 2. Look at Titus. Am I late or something? No, it's okay. Look at Titus chapter 2. He doesn't just talk about aged men. He doesn't just talk about aged women. He talks about young women. To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And we got men that are pushing their daughters away from this stuff. What kind of a worthless father would do that? Then you got young men. Likewise, see? Exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself a pattern of good works. I hate this thing of, oh, they're just being kids, so let's just let them do wrong. Let's let them be rude. Let's let them be bullies. Let's let them go run outside and get rid of all their energy. That's baloney. That's garbage. It says right there, those young people are supposed to be examples. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Whoever preaches this to the young people today, Show me a young person. Well, I know of a couple. I know some lost young people that are better at that than Christian young people, if they're saved at all. So it's the young people that time isn't important to the young people. They can just go back into the world. They can play hardy, go all these movies and do all this kind of stuff because later on in life, they'll get it together. You know what? The way things are looking, things are getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I know that's not grammatically correct, but I'm a music teacher. Who cares? Let's look at another. We got time. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 12. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Young people. They just want to go back. They'll do whatever they can to have the life they want to have still. When you get to be 60, that judgment seat's like this much left to go before that judgment seat shows up. Maybe some of us are going to have that long dying process. I don't know. Young people never have that. Oh, yeah? Young people, you're not guaranteed to have life tomorrow. You get killed on your motorcycle, on your Honda, on your, you could get killed in sports. How many kids are dying in the football field? They just drop dead. They had a heart issue nobody knew about. Killed on the way home because the one driving your car had the accident. You didn't have the accident, but you were the one killed. How about young people that get sick and get cancer? It can happen. The food, listen, now that I'm buying my own food for the next couple of weeks here, and I've been kind of concerned about my gaining weight, and I'm looking at the ingredients on our foods, I just want to buy bread. Just bread. And there's fructose corn syrup in bread. And fructose corn syrup destroys brain cells. It's in pop. What's it doing in my bread? What's it doing in my rice? What is going on here? Look at the chemical ingredients it takes to make a Hostess Twinkie today. I think when I was a kid, Hostess Twinkies were made out of chocolate and fluff and cream. But tell you, the ingredients is huge, and they're all chemicals. What would happen if you took out one of those chemicals? Would it no longer be a Hostess Twinkie? I don't understand this stuff. Yes, I do. They're poisoning us. Our kids are flying high because their food is sugared. Their brains are being destroyed. They don't have ADHD. They just got chemicals in their food. There's kids out there that are allergic to ketchup, red dye in ketchup. And then some of these families out there, they've fixed that all up, and their kids are fine again. It's amazing what's going on here. How do I get into that? What does that got to do with anything? Did I talk about that in the previous point? What was my previous point? Young people. Okay, young people. Yeah. You know, they want fast food. They want fast church, if they do church at all. Here's another one. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Here's another one. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to be renewed. Our mind needs to be renewed. What we see in 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We need to get up and get into that book and be renewed every day. Remember what Christ has done for us. Nothing's been imputed. It's just relax. Just keep on with your day. Don't just go out there and do what you want to do because you can. Paul answers, says, God forbid that you'd want to do that. The people so can't understand that all things are lawful to us, but not all things are expedient. Out of that, there it goes. He says here in Ephesians 4:23, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. He says to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's Christ. Put on the new man. We get Galatians 6:9, where it talks about, let us be not weary in well-doing. And then one of my favorite verses here is in Jeremiah 12:5, if thou hast run to the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? If you think today's got trouble, wait to see it next month, or in 3 months, or in a year or two. Wait to see what that's like. You're tired already? Go on to bed. But listen, what do we have to be? None of us have been put on a stake. None of us have been lit on fire. Some people have lost their wives or husbands over the deal. Still can happen to any of us. Some people have lost their children. Yeah, that's hard stuff. But you've never had to see somebody pick up your baby and bash his head against the wall. We just haven't been persecuted. Tribulation is going to be worse than it's ever been. So read Jeremiah, read Ezekiel, read the Old Testament to find out how bad Nebuchadnezzar treated God's people, and it'll be worse than that during the tribulation. Oh, we haven't begun to see persecution. So if we're having a hard time now, I know we're going to have to go through the tribulation. But before we finally get to that tribulation, voice of gladness is gone, is going away, the voice of joy, the voice of the bride, the voice of the groom, the voice, all these things, the millstone, it's going to get hard. And if we're having trouble now, like I said this morning, some of you on that list, you have had it tough. You have had it rough within the family. You have had fathers and mothers that are just brutish. You have had lose jobs over this stuff. I've been there. I've done that. Lost a church over sticking with Paul. You lose friends. You lose family over this stuff. Yeah, it's hard. But it's still going to get worse. So we need to learn how to put up with the footmen. That's not a big deal. When that River Jordan swells, things get really hard. It's going to get harder yet, he says. Okay, here's another one, another point here. Let's look to Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah says it better than anybody. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31. You know why some people like to go back to the world? That's how they like it. Jeremiah says here, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and make things worse, he says, and my people love to have it so. You know why we have Obama for our president? It's what the people want. Do you know why we are the way it is in churches today? That's the way the people want it in that church. They don't like what the pastor's doing with Paul? Okay. You can either talk to the guy, straighten it out, men, or get out of there. But you won't, because this is how you like it. Well, you don't have a church to go to. I know we need church. I know we need the brethren. I know we need the fellowship. I know we need the preaching. But if they're lying to you and spoiling your children and da-da-da-da, all the list goes on, the music is terrible, then either do something about it or get out. Otherwise, you like it this way. Now, here's another good verse. Mark pointed this out to me the other night. Here, look at Jeremiah 42, verse 13. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying no, which is what people are saying, I'm not going to follow Paul. I'm not going to follow. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay, he says, but we will go into the land of Egypt where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. That's what they want. This is the way they want it. They're going to go back into that world. Ladies are going to get out there and get this job. You're going to have to dress immodestly. You're going to have to put up with a boss, even the lady bosses, which are worse because they got to show their power. And man, you're going to. This is the way you want it. You want Obama. You want the government to take care of you. You want the world to take care of you. You don't want to do that. You don't want the freedoms that we're supposed to have had. You don't want this. People don't want America's Constitution. Is that amazing or what? No. They haven't taught the Constitution correctly in schools for years. This is the way the people want it. Don't do anything about it. Then it goes on and he talks there about how what God will do to them. He says, and now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. If ye wholly set your faces to enter in Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof ye were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So shall it be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. We don't have to fear that. But if we go back to the world will still destroy us with their sword. What's their sword? The words. This is our sword. And even this sword will destroy you. Remember, this is a kingdom of God issue. This is a spiritual issue. You will die spiritually. You're not going to die physically. God isn't going to hammer you for going back to the world at all. Matter of fact, you'll be blessed, but it won't be from God. It'll be from the devil. It'll be from your skill, your money, your credit, your life, the way you designed it to be. And you'll die spiritually, even though you won't know it. That's the devil, subtlety. You go back to that world, you're looking for trouble. But you won't know it's troubled. Now somebody comes along with the King James Rightly Divided Bible, tries to tell you something, and you're going to get angry. Isn't that amazing to think that any of us on this list, anybody who watches this thing later on and listens, you could end up being mad at me, mad at a preacher for preaching what he preaches? It's like it's his fault. It's like George Bush was blamed for Katrina. And I know I'm being blamed for kids back in let me check the list here. I'm being blamed for some of the things that are going on back at Tushy. I'm being blamed for that with the kids. I know what's going on. It's not my fault, ladies. You can't keep your mouth shut, and you men, you just don't have anything to get anything to do right as a man. They love this present world. They want to go back to this world. They're Demas people, and they like it. It's what they wanted all the time I was there. It's what they still want today, and it's happening everywhere. You're going to die spiritually. You'll probably be blessed physically. That won't be from God. What else can we do? How are we doing for time? What else joyful things here? Let's look at Romans chapter 1. Here's another reason that can cause us to go backwards, go back to the world. And that's being unthankful. Romans 1:21 says this, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know what happens to these people when they go back? They become fools. They were fools in the first place to go back. They were unthankful. Well, how could they be unthankful? Well, if you don't know what it is that Christ, the risen Christ, did for you and did to you, spiritual circumcision, imputation, the spiritual blessings, making us nigh to God, all this kind of stuff. If you're not aware of that, you won't be thankful. And it continues to say that, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. People can't understand that Christ, they all believe that Christ rose again, but they don't think that He taught us anything since He rose. They're going back to the Gospels. And when those Gospel teachings don't come true in your life, they get mad at God and quit. I don't know if any of them picked up a snake and tried to play with the poisonous snake. I'll have that opportunity this year out here. Rattlesnakes all over the place. Not too thrilled about that, unless I have my gun with me. But if they don't know what it is that Christ did, they're not thankful. And before you know it, they're going to look to God like it was them. Why would God not impute our sins to us? Why would He do that? Well, I guess that says how much He really loved us, that if we trust His Son as His only begotten Son as our Savior, He won't impute any of those sins to us. That's quite a God. I can't handle that. Well, I can't help that. That's what He says. Very unthankful. Very unappreciative. He says in Romans chapter, look what He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're going to have to sacrifice things. Why is sacrificing the world a sacrifice? Because our flesh wants it. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the least thing that we can do. He's not even asking us anything. Really, it's just reasonable. You know, it's not a big thing, ladies, to cover up. It's not. God designed you to be covered. That's all. He didn't design your mouth to be loud and boisterous and all that stuff. He talks about that. Goes back to Adam and Eve. How about the man? It's the way God wants us to be. And we can't today. We've got to fight for it today. He says in Timothy, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Just be thankful what Christ has done for you. Be thankful for the Word of God that people shed their blood for. Be thankful that you've even got a Bible. Be thankful that you've got a few brethren out there that care about you. I'm thankful this website's continued because of money you folks send. I'm thankful that you guys are taking care of us as a pastor when we moved. I'm even thankful for back there. They tried so hard to make it work, I guess. And it just, I don't know, don't even get me started on that thing. Devil wins. The devil's out to destroy this message from Paul. And he's doing really well. We've got people that are quitting and going backwards. Ben, got Floyd's on there? Yeah, Ben, young guy right there. I hope you heard that stuff about the young men. Be the man. Be the example for your mom and dad even. Ah, there's a dangerous thing. I know somebody that's doing that, and the parents are just irate. What? We got a young person more spiritual than their parents? No wonder the parents are embarrassed and shamed and angry and frustrated and try to knock them down. Anyway. Well, we got time for one more? We probably do. Let's see what we got here. Let's go to Titus. Let's go back to Titus here for another point here. I'm on the Howell Factory, you stayed with us. Good to have you there so far. Unless you're taking notes and you're going to go back to the clan and tell them, you know what Paulson's teaching now? It's amazing. Look at Titus chapter 2. What a chapter. You know, I'll say it again. I'll just remind some of you folks out there. You know, there was a time that we first got into Paul. We were just thrilled about the things that we learned from Paul. We don't need to be born again. We need to be quickened. We recognize the religion that was in us. We got rid of a lot of that stuff. Not all of it, just a lot of it. And it was exciting. Oh, it was joyful. The grace, all that kind of stuff. And then one day I thought I'd preach a series on, I call it my suicide series as a pastor, pastoral suicide series. I had to remind people that, do you remember that Paul wrote Timothy and Titus too? You know that? Timothy and Titus is the stuff that puts it back on us on our day-to-day walk. We're not going to be sinless. Don't get me wrong. But these are the things that we should do to please God. And he calls it, in chapter 2, sound doctrine. And he goes and tells the old people, the old ladies, the aged men, the aged women, and the young women, and the young men. We've been over this. This is sound doctrine. And yet we also know that in Timothy, he says that we will choose not to do sound doctrine. So, why is it that people go backwards? They choose to. Nobody forces them to at all. A parent may think he's forcing you to, but he's not. You're choosing to go back there. You're choosing. When you get up in the morning, ladies, you choose to wear that stuff. You're going to go fishing. You're going to go to the lake. You're going to do stuff. You choose to dress immodestly because of the situation. Does that not bother you that people see what they see? Is there no shamefacedness in you? You choose not to. Men, you choose to turn that channel. Men, you choose to buy this stuff. It's not sound doctrine. We choose not to look at sound doctrine. And I wonder why. Why are we embarrassed to be dressed modestly? Why are we embarrassed to say to people, I don't want to watch that movie. I've got something else. I want to redeem my time. I want to do something better. Not judging you for it. You can watch whatever you want, but I don't want to do that. Why does that embarrass us, or is it shame? Why are you not willing to say that to somebody? Well, there's lots of reasons they come back on you, but still. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, okay, nor of me his prisoner, that's Paul. I'm not only not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ from the time that he was from creation to the Old Testament, to the Gospels, to Paul, to the tribulations, to the millennium and eternity. That's the testimony of our Lord. I'm also not ashamed of Paul. He says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. If you're not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, and you're not ashamed of Paul, you've got affliction coming. And you don't want that, so we choose to go back. That's just what we do. And Romans chapter 6 tells us about that. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. Now we choose to. And then lastly, one more point here. I think that quite often we get spoiled by grace. How can we get spoiled by grace? Well, there's no chastisement of God. Go ahead and say that that's not true, but read Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. God does not only not chastise the Christian, he doesn't even chastise the lost world. He's got good. The goodness of God is the long-suffering and patience and the mercy and the grace of God. He tells the lost people, your life's going to come up with the white throne judgment and it's going to burn you. And he tells the Christian, hey, you've got the liberty now. All things are lawful. Christ took care of the law for righteousness. But I'm going to have to put your works through the judgment seat. But until then, I'm not going to hassle you. The only place you can go in that Bible to say that God's going to chastise you and hurt you and destroy you if need be is Old Testament or Hebrews. You can look at the example of the Old Testament and say, God's going to do this to you. That's not true. That's what he did to his Jews. You go to Hebrews, yes, you're supposed to obey that pastor. You're supposed to follow his life because he cares for your soul. But see, our soul is not a problem. The only place you can do that chastisement thing is Hebrews chapter 12, like a father chastises his children. God chastises us through the Word. That's why some people don't like to read their Bibles. God will get them in their Bible. He's not going to burn your house down. You didn't lose your job because you're a Christian, because God's punishing you and you did something wrong. You can lose your job because you're a Christian. What I'm saying is you can't lose your job because God's going to take it away from you because you did something wrong. You can't show me scripture on that. Go ahead and try. I'll show you scripture that supports what I'm showing you there, unless you're wrongly divided. So, because of that, we can get away with murder. Unless they catch you. You're not going to lose your salvation over it. I told somebody, an older person, the other day at an Easter dinner, and the grandpa here said, well, right away, he said, you can just go out and shoot somebody? It's a classic response to unlawful, saying all things are lawful. I said, you God forbid that you would, but yes, you can lose your salvation over that. He couldn't get over that. He got up off the couch and walked away. Hey, excuse me, but this is what the Bible says. Isn't that exciting? Not that you can just go out and do stuff, but when you do mess up, and we will, and we do, and we have been, God's not going to hammer us for it. So we get spoiled by that grace. We become very conceited because we think we're getting away with stuff because we must be living good, so God's blessing us. You know how much help, because who do you think you are? Do you think that God's blessing you because of your walk? Our walk is to please God, but He's already blessed us with spiritual blessings. Matter of fact, if we walk to please God today, we're going to suffer persecution, not get physical blessings. Where do you get this physical blessings thing from? Oh, that's right. Great Commission. Baptist preachers. Anybody's preachers. Old Testament teachings. Tribulational teachings. Not from Paul. We'll stop there. You know, one of the things that we're supposed to ask ourselves when we're going to do something, you ask yourself, the strings attached to liberty. Is it going to cause somebody to stumble? Then you shouldn't do it, really. You can, but you shouldn't. It should be edifying. What's edifying? The world ways or God's ways? It should be expedient, meaning it's the right thing to do. It's expedient. Is it the right thing to do that? It shouldn't cause you to be a power over you. Can you not turn off that TV? Can you not spend a night without the video? Can you not smoke? Hey, it's a cigarette's going to burn you. He's breathing this stuff and it's going to kill you. So whatever. But can you stop doing it? No, I can't. That's the problem with cigarettes. Music. You can listen to anything you want. Is it going to mess up somebody's? Going to mess up your testimony? Is it going to appeal to your flesh? Can you not turn off your music? Can you got to have your music? Those are the questions you ask. So yeah, we're spoiled by grace. He spoiled us. And when he died on that cross, he did that. What he did on that cross took care of the law. So nothing's imputed to us. Without the law, there is no transgression. He got rid of the law. Romans chapter 10, verse 3, 4. There's no law on us anymore. So why would you want to do anything like that? God forbid that we'd want to do that. But the sin is still in there. He'll take care of that at the judgment seat of Christ with our works. Marvelous stuff. Why do people want to go back? Well, there's a bunch of reasons for you right there. And I'll put the notes online here in about a half hour, and you can finish it out if you want. Print it off, and you and your family, or you and your wife, or you and your daughter, whatever, sit down and finish it off. See what you can come up with on your own. I'll type up some notes to it later, or just for your own self. So, there you be. There you be. There's the stuff for you. It's happening everywhere. It's just happening everywhere. And like I said, it's hard for me because being a pastor at one time, I want to help people get out of their snares. But I can't. You have to do it yourself. 2 Timothy 2:23, 24, 25, and 26. All I can do is open the door. I can tell you what's going on out here. And you got to walk out of that thing. I know too many people that have walked out of that snare and they finally went back. And they're paying the price for it today. That's really sad to me. That's just the way it is. Frustrating. Anyway, there you are.